main point of the shiur that we would like to concentrate on is if a person owns a pet, the different halacha shailas that will come up and what he should do about them. The different halacha shailas that there are in the gay if a person owns a pet. However, as a hakdama to the shiur, I would like to discuss one point, and that is the Torah view on owning a dog. If anybody has an interest in going out and buying one, I just want to give you a little bit of the Torah view about owning, of actually owning a dog. This firstly, there's a Mishnah Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, Lo Yigadl Odom Kelev, a person should not bring up a dog inside his house. Elim Kein Hoyuk Kosher B'Shasheres, only if he has it on a metal chain, on a real heavy chain, because usually what the dog would do is the dog would go out and be mazik, and a person is not allowed to be megadol in his house a mazik. Now the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us that if he lives close to an area which is an open area where there are no people, so by day he has to keep the dog chained, at night he can take the dog and let the dog run around. And if you take a look at Chash Mishpat Simon Tov Tes and the Ramad like a paskins, that a person is not allowed to be Megadol a Kelev B'toich Beisoy, and the Yam Shoshloim paskins the same way. However, if you take a look at the Sugi, the Gemara says that a regular dog is also to bring up in your house, but a Kafri is Mutter to bring up in your house. Now what is a Kafri? So there are two Pshatim. Either a Kafri is like a little puppy, which they usually generally were not that dangerous, even though it can be some small dogs that are dangerous, or a Kafri was a very large dog, but they were hunting dogs that were friendly with the people, and they were not mazikim. These were the two dogs that were mutter. Now, what's that? Oh, we'll get to security. I want to get to security in a few seconds. It happens to be historically, throughout the years, there's no question that they didn't all own dogs for security. There's no question about that. Now, what's interesting is that there's a machloikis rishonim how we paskin. Because if you take a look at the Gemara says that you cannot have a dog, a kelev ra. Now how do we define a kelev ra? There's two ways of understanding it. Either a kelev ra would mean a kelev dog that actually bites, which means a dangerous dog that bites. Or you can understand a kelev ra means a dog that barks, that scares people. Now why is that? Because there's a Gemara that tells us the following story. The Gemara says that there was a certain isha that came to a house of a person, and as she was about to enter the house, the dog was there, and the dog started to bark and suddenly came out and frightened her. So the Gemara says the owner came, and the owner said, don't worry about it, this dog is not a dangerous dog, you have nothing to be concerned about. So she said to him, thank you very, very much, Yeshekoyach, but you should know that the child, the uber that was in my stomach, already had a hapolish. She was mappled the child out of fright. She had a miscarriage. So that, therefore, according to that, there are some Rishonim, many Rishonim that paskin, that any dog which is dangerous, which barks, which is wild, which scares people, is also to have. However, there are many Rishonim, and this is exactly the way the Hachro seems to be, is that there are many Rishonim that paskin, that only if a dog is actually dangerous is it also, but if it barks, it's mutter. The Rav Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should be machma, not to have any dog. The Knesset Gedolah paskins only if it's a dangerous dog. And for Shmira, all the Gedolim are mate if the reason why you have the dog is for Shmira. It's interesting, the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Vayosam Hashem ois l'kayim, the Rabban Shalom made the ois v'kayim, that kayim should be able to live. So what was the ois that was given over to Kayin? So the Medrash Rabbah says the Rabban Shalom gave him a dog to walk with him, and that dog protected him. It's a very funny Medrash. What's pshat in this Medrash? That he got a dog and he was automatically protected. So I once saw a very interesting pshat in the old Sefer. The Sefer is not in print anymore. So the Sefer, he writes as follows. The Gemara tells us that klovim tzoyekim, if the dogs are screaming, so you know, Malach HaMavis klovim tzoyekim, if the dogs are screaming, then you know if the Malach HaMavis is in town. Klovim tzoyekim, if the dogs are laughing, you know Eliyahu HaNavi came to town. It's a Gemara Nakarnis in Bava Kama. So the Gemara, according to that, he says, a Gevalig Yipshat, he says, Kayin had a concern. What was the concern of Kayin? He always thought that since he was the first to kill, somebody was going to kill him. So the Rabbi Yishlan gave him an ois. What was the ois? A Kelev. The Kelev is the one, if he sees that the Kelev suddenly is barking or crying or screaming, whatever it's doing, what does he do? Automatically, he knows that Malchamov is bowling ear. So if that's the case, let him leave and and go somewhere else. So he never gets into a problem. So that's why the caliph to him was a shmirah. Agav, there's an interesting rishash by the medrash that says, "Vayisnakli Yosef lahamisa." Yosef, the brothers tried to kill Yosef at tzaddik. So the medrash tells us, "Rotzi l'shasa by klovim." They tried to take a dog to get the dog to eat Yosef. What, so the rishash says, "What's pshat?" Because the gemara that tells us that's called hamasape lashon hara. Someone who speaks lashon hara, roy lashlichay leklovim. You should take this person and throw him to the dogs. They held that Yosef at tzaddik spoke lashon hara. If he spoke lashon hara, so he was supposed to be eaten by the dog. So that's why he wanted to take a dog, that the dog should go and attack Yosef HaTzadik. Now comes the Yaivitz, who's Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and Simon Yud Zayin and Shal's Tshuvah Shilus Yaivitz, and he has the most fascinating Tshuvah, and he is the only one pretty much that says this, that he says there's an actual Isser to own a dog, and he learns it out from certain Gemaras that it's a Chashash that the of Zima, which means that the Gemara brings down that a single lady shouldn't live together with a dog, and chahena v'chahena, and he says that there's a chashash of zima, and therefore people should stay away and not own dogs. However, one thing is clear, that the Yaivitz was a das yochid in this shita, but what I do want to tell you is a very interesting thing, and that is that throughout the generations, dogs were kept for shmira, but to own a dog as a puppy was not considered a Yiddish thing. There is a very interesting letter. There's Rabbi Yaakov Emden had correspondence with Moses Mendelssohn, right? There was quite a bit of correspondence went back between between the two of them. The other Gedolim felt that Rabbi Yaakov Emden sort of got Chalila schlepped arayin, and Moses Mendelssohn was pulling a hood over his eyes and fooling him who he actually was. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden, on the other hand, writes to him towards the end, as the relationship was falling apart, and Moses Mendelssohn was going lower and lower. So what happened was, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the second to the last letter he writes him the following letter. He says, "You think that with all your letters, you're pulling the hood over my eyes, and I have no idea who you actually are. I just want you to know that at this point, I know exactly who you are. I knew all the time who you were. I was just trying to be makar of you." And then he writes to him a very interesting line. He says, "I know you're straying further and further away from Yiddishkeit, and I know that you already even own a dog." So it's interesting that was his like muster of a person that's gone away from Yiddishkeit. But again, it makes a lot of sense because Rabbi Yaakov Emden was the one that wrote the tshuva that it's osa, and lemaisa halacha lemaisa, it seems to be clear that a lot of poskim that halacha, there's no question it is mutter. If you want to go in musa, I mean the Peleoyet says it, al-pisoid you shouldn't do it. There's the Minkach wrote a sefer Divrei Torah, so he writes over there that the klovim come from the soid of Esav, and he says that's why in our Golis the dog became man's best friend. He writes, why did the dog become man's best friend? Because the klovim are from the side of Esav, and they're from the tomb of Esav, and therefore dogs are so prevalent. Bizman Hazed. There's a very interesting maral in Bava Kama. It's an arichas the maral. It's very deep. I can't go into it right now. But the maral says that if you want to know why is it that the dog can comprehend when the malchamavus is coming and the human can't, so the maral explains that the greatest distance is placed between the greatest being and the lowest being, and the malachim have to be in certain ways removed from the people, and therefore, since the people are so great, they can't sense what certain malachim are doing. But then the Maral writes, since the dog is the lowest of all beings, that's what Maral writes, therefore it's a Maral Nakoin, it's two places in the Maral he has this discussion. So therefore, in the Chadishia Goddess theory he discusses it. Therefore, he says this on the dog, it has the ability to sense when the Malach HaMavis is coming. The emesis, if you really want to know what's Taka the Pshat in this, in all these discussions, the truth is Al Pi Halacha, there's no question it was mutter to have a dog. There's nothing to talk about Al Pi Halacha. Yirei Shemayim and Chanami do a chumras. But what is the reason why they were so concerned? The main reason they were so concerned, if you take a look at Reb Chaim Palagi, what happened was that as a person owns a dog, what happened was he starts to act like a dog, to think like a dog, he has to make faces, the dog should make faces back to him, and so on and so forth, and eventually he takes his mind and degrades it to the level of a dog. I once heard half of the pshat, Rabbi Belsky once said over, what's the pshat? The only true ben chayre, the only true free person is a person that's sitting and learning, that's oisik b'toyre. So l'chayre, it's not true. If you're learning Torah, if you're mechuyev bound to the mitzvahs, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing. So on the contrary, you're not a ben chayyur. He said over gevaldig pshat. He said over that if you want to take a look and l'moshel, if you have a person that's a very brilliant person, and this person wants to go and use his mind properly. So what happens is, let's say you have loyal lane, and once in a while this scenario happens. You have a balabos who makes a lot of money. The lavdafka, because a person made a lot of money, does that mean he's too bright? Very often, right, the poster says, loydul chachamim oisha, right? Some people make a lot of money, and they're not too intelligent. What do? They hire to work for them somebody who is far more intelligent than the balabas is. Now you come into the first meeting, and as you're working for the balabas, so you know is not doing very well up there in the brains department, and you have your first meeting with him, and you're talking to him, and naturally he starts to say his dais. But you know, a person demet emaya hatadaya, right? So as you're talking to this person, you suddenly have the shabayach, all his beautiful thoughts, and everything that he says, you know, has to be all his opinions. He suddenly has das Torah and all these different ideas. It's kodesh kodeshim, right? So it's a very sad situation. You have a bright person that lowers down his mind to the level of a person that his seichel is far inferior to his. Now, what happens is that there's a much more sadder situation than that. And that's what? You have a person that's a Yetzir Elokim Umala, a person with a bright mind, and he lowers himself down his mind. Where does he lower his mind down? To the level of a dog. Now, that's far sadder, right? It happens to be there's even a low madrega, by the way, which is not for this year. And that is when a person sees like a potato chip, for example, right, or any other taiva, and the potato chip says, you know, you have to eat me, and the person's mind is even lower than the potato chip. I mean, if a person's some, here we're talking about only going down to the level of a dog. There are certain people, right, that's Eilchol ben Chorin el Misha Oisik B'Tayra, because a person that's Oisik B'Tayra has freedom, his mind rules above anything else. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, now what's going to happen in the Yemais HaMashiach? It's going to be Pnei HaDor Kipnei Akelef, the face of the door is like the face of a dog. It happens to be this, I called up Daniel last night, about 20 years ago, I was by a shir. It happened to be it was a shir for Bali Shuvas, and there was somebody who was quite entertaining. He said, what's Taich Pnei Ador Kipnei Akelef? So he brought out that this, today there's something called, people have a Mardige Chachma. They try to, that a person should end up looking like a dog. They have man and dog look-alike contests, right? You ever see these things? He bought me a few copies, and they ask people to submit to whoever shows that he looks the most similar to his dog, right, is the one that wins the prize. You can pass this around, and you can see that atkadekach, how high you can steig if you really want to get into this. But that's the shot. You hear everybody say, if you lower your mind down to such a level, avad, that's not what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants. You have an older person, they need it for companionship or the art, this rehabilitation, right? Animal therapy, whatever it is. Me'ika adin, it's muta. But if this is the goal, avad, it's kedai to. You pass it around on the. I'm sure you guys have other ways to get this on your own. You don't need me for that. Okay, Rabbi Say, this is enough for. This is enough. Don't forget to give it back. I need it in the file of this shir. I mean, it's mamish like. I think this whole discussion is covered. The guy brings me such a picture. Everything is taken care of. Now, let's get a little further. That's regarding that. Now let's get a little bit more into the nitty gritty halachas. There are cases where there's no question people, a person has to own a dog, and there are many different pets that people do own. It happens to be that a lot of people own fish, and the reason for the fish is because it calms the people down, they take a look at it, and 100%, if a person is at the matzav where the pet does something for him, that kind of situation, and a chanami, so I want to bring out, now the first question, which a person definitely has to own a dog, which besides Shmira, which you mentioned before, is Lo Yaleinu, if a person is Nebuch, is blind, alright, and he needs to have a seeing eye dog. So there, everybody agrees he should have a dog. Alright, he should have a food, Shleim would be even better, but if he has to have it, he should have that dog. And the Shaila that comes up now is, the person wants to go into the Bismedrish. And when the person wants to go into the Besmedrish, what happens? He wants to go in with a dog. So a Shiloh was sent to Reb Moshe. It's an Orchaim Simon Memhei. Where a Shiloh was sent to Reb Moshe, is it okay for a Suma to walk into a Besmedrish with a dog or not? That was the Shiloh that was sent to Reb Moshe. And Reb Moshe, with his great Gaonis, answers, absolutely yes, it is Mutter. Where does he bring a Raya from? He brings a Raya from a Yerushalmi in Megillah and Perek B'nei Ha'ir. The Yerushalmi tells us that the Batei Knesiyos in Chutz La'aretz are made al Tanai, right? Are made on a Tanai, and since they're made on a Tanai, so the question is, usually you have a Beis HaMedrash, or a Beis HaMedrash, you're not allowed to do in this Beis HaMedrash anything besides davening or learning, depending if it's a Beis HaMedrash or it's a Beis HaKnesses. So the question is, are you allowed to eat there or not? So the Yerushalmi brings down, there's a famous psak, that if somebody is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and is Tairosi Yimnosoi, all he does all Yom Valayla is to learn Torah. Since he's learning Torah all day, it's no problem, because that becomes his house. No, that's very good for the Gros Tamid HaChomim. But then the Yerushalmi brings down that Rav Imi says that even in Yerushalmi, it's Rav Ami from Bavli, that what happens is that even the lower level Tamid HaChomim are also allowed to go in, even though they're not there all the time, but since they try, they come in for Shiurim, they're also allowed to go into the Besmedrish, and then it says with their, you know, the Makle, the Tamile, which usually you're not allowed to go into the Besmedrish with your satchel and different work items, and on the way home from work, it says, with his donkey. That's what is brought down in the Yerushalmi in Perek B'nei Ha'ir. So Rav Moshe brings a raya from there, and he says as follows. He says, let's take a look, he says. The Batei Knesiyos in Chutz La'aretz were definitely made al Tanai. Let's not talk, he's not talking about Eretz Yisrael, he's talking about Chutz La'aretz. And since the Batei Knesiyos and Chutz La'aretz were made on a Tanai, therefore, it's no problem, he says. You want to walk in with a you want to eat, he says. So he says he brings down a machlokes of his lekatchilo or b'shas atchag. So Rav Moshe says as follows: Kimaduman, he says b'shas atchag hakomoyin that is mutter. Kimaduman, he says that it's even lekatchilo, and he brings very interesting. He writes, he says, I think the minig is lekatchilo people eat in the besmedrish for a sudas mitzvah like shalosh shudis or sheva brachas. He writes, and then Rav Moshe adds, he says, and take a look at the chassidim, they give tikkun for your side in the Besmedrish, right? So obviously their minig is mamish likatchilo in the Beis HaKnesses that's made on a Tanai to eat in the Beis HaKnesses or in the Beis HaMedrish. And then Moshe says, he says, now if that's the case, he says, so l'shas atzorich is for sure mutter. You can bring in food, and the Yerushalmi compares food to a donkey, and the Ramayisha says, I don't see why it's worse to bring into the Besmedrish a dog than a donkey. The blind man definitely is a shas atzorich, because how else is he going to daven his whole life? And therefore Ramayisha is mata to bring the dog into the Besmedrish. Ramayisha says that the person should sit better towards the exit, so that it won't be mafriya the rabbim. And I'll tell you, I happen to remember my whole childhood. I grew up here a few blocks away in here in Besmedrish. There was a certain person who was blind. He had a dog. I mean, I'm not going to say over his name, he's not around anymore. The dog's name was Bergen, I remember. And the dog came all the years to the Besmedrish, always sat on his table. He asked for Moshe the Shaila, and the dog never ever made a sound. The dog never barked, the dog never moved. The dog sat on Yom Kippur through a whole davening better than I did as a kid. That I can tell you for sure. Alright, yeah. So
The dog ate something.
It's another discussion. It's not for this year, but there's a whole discussion. The Anshe Ninve, they went on fasts, and they made the dogs fast too. For Rachem from the Ribbono Shel Olam. By the Arabs, they do this sometimes. They mitzar their animals. Right, we have to. There's a whole discussion of its own. If you have to give the dog, there's a whole shaila, by the way. You know, usually you have to give your behemoth to eat before you. So the shaila is on a tinus. What you have to do with your animal exactly? All right, that's another another discussion. Comes along the a tshuva which is written by Rev Breish. Rev Breish writes a tshuva, and before I get to Rev Breish tshuva and Chelkes Yaakov, I'll tell you that there is a Rev Mendel Kasha. Rev Nachum Mendel Kasha writes that it's also he's chaylik on Rav Moshe. Why is he writing chaylik on Rav Moshe? He says says because you're not allowed to walk into the Makam HaMikdash he says you can't bring in the Beis HaMikdash a Mechir Kelev, something which was exchanged for a Kelev. So Rabbi Nachman El-Kashe says, in Sefer Torah Shleim, he says, if you can't bring something which is a Mechir Kelev, isn't it a Kal V'chomer that you can't bring a Kelev itself into the Beis HaMedrash? L'maisa, it's not such a strong raya, because in the Beis HaMikdash, there were, even though many halachas, it was a Beis HaKnesses was similar to the Beis HaMikdash, but there were a lot of halachas where there were nafkaminis. L'maisa, there was a tshuva in Chelkis Yaakov, Chelu Gimel Simon Pei Zayin, and in the Shiur Mitzion Balach, he writes the same thing in the footnotes, where they disagreed with Ramosha, they held it's Osa, but it's very funny, the raya that they come up with is a very funny raya. They bring down a Chassam Sofer, where Chassam Sofer writes that if the Goyim are noyig and they're mocking Tifla to ask us something, we are not allowed to do it, because what's going to happen is, if the Goyim can do this in the mocking Tifla, then it's going to look very, very bad if we're going to do it, because it's going to look like we're worse than the Goyim. And then Rav Moshe says, it's a bezoin for the Beis HaMedrash, it's going to disturb the Beis HaMedrash, and so on and so forth. Now, in Mechilas Kavod of Rav Breish, I just want to tell you that different people have done research with different archdioceses. It's not important for me to bring in all the research. I have it in the house if anybody needs to see it, but they did with three major religious organizations, and not one of them has. There's no rule b'zman hazeh that a dog is not allowed to be brought into a church or any of these mekaymus whatsoever. That's aleph. And secondly, those dogs are very well trained. They're not mafriya the tefillah. And it seems like that Rav Moshe's argument is far more persuasive. That if chalila a person needs to have it, avada yesh loy al mi lismoich in this situation. Now there happens to be another tshuva negus Moshe, which I'm not going to go through right now, which is the tshuva about mechama acha behemtoy, which means that usually you're not allowed to go and do something to make an animal move on Shabbos because it's like chayrish. And when the blind man used to pick up that little saddle on the back of the dog automatically starts to walk. So it ends up being a shtikla shayla of mechama acha behemtoy. Hatzor b'Shabbos is another shayla. The leash can't hang down more than the tefach. It's all kind of shaylas. L'maizer Rav Moshe's matter this whole shayla on a blind person for a seeing guide dog. Now another halacha which there is if a person owns a pet, and that is that he has to feed the pet before he eats himself. The Gemara Mesechtas Brachos. The Gemara says that you have to be machal your behemoth before you eat yourself, and you learn it out from a pasuk. The pasuk says v'nasati esev b'sadcha. After you feed your animals, then you can eat yourself. Now, where does it come from that you have to feed your animals before you feed yourself? So I'm just going to repeat to you what is brought down in different svarim. It's brought down to Sefer Charedim, it's brought down to Chaim Vital, that and there's a very, very famous Medrash. The Medrash tells us that there was a whole story between Alexander Moikten and a certain very smart king. And the king said to Alexander Moikten, how would you in your city judge this Shaila? And Alexander Moikten gave him a response which showed that the people in his city were not worthy of anything. So the king said to him, really? Is there rain in your city? You have what to eat? So the Alexander Moikten said yes. So he said to him, you know what? If you have what to eat, you know why you have what to eat? It's not in your own schus. It's only the schus of the animals in your city. Because that's the pasuk says, Oda mi behema teshi Hashem. Oda mi behema teshi Hashem. So therefore, someone at Taina as follows. What they want at Taina is that very often, not very often, it could be a mole, that a person doesn't have the schusim to eat on his own. The only reason why he's zoicha to eat is because what? Because of his animal. So therefore, first he feeds his animal, and then you have the schuz to eat on your own. So that's the answer to that. Now, one of the shayles, I'm going to go a little bit more bekitzer because we have a much shorter time today, so we'll go a few minutes over, but I don't want to go too far over, but so we'll be mekatzer as much as possible. One of the big issues is that when you have a dog or a cat, is dog food or cat food, which usually is basar b'cholov. That's the famous shayla. Now, basar b'cholov is not only asa b'achila, but it's also asa b'hano. Now, if it's asa b'hano, how are you allowed to give this food to your animals? Now, the emes is that there's a taz in Simon Tzadik Dal. The taz is even moisiv. You can't even give something which is asa b'hano to a strange animal. It's machlokes in the shach, the taz in the pischa tshuva. Why? Because he tells that if you give it over to somebody else's animal, as you give the food to the animal, you see the animal jumps, the animal gets excited. So you have hanah from seeing this happen. So what is the heter to give dog food or cat food? So you have to look in Siman Pei Zayin. There's the famous Mechaber, there's the famous Rambam, which discusses that we have a concept ein issa chalal issa, which means if you want the issa of basa b'chol to be chal, it has to be a kosher piece of meat that had no issa on it, and a kosher bit of milk that had no issa on it, and then you can have basa b'chol. But lu yisuya, you have a case where you have meat that comes from a chamor, and you mix that together with milk, right? So what happens in that type of situation? So then there's ein issa chal issa. There's an issa already als basa chamor, als basa nevela, and therefore it doesn't become the issa of basa b'chalav. So that's one possible heta. The emes is, the more complicated question is when you have basa nevela or basa trefa, then you go into the whole shaila with issa koilel, issa moisif, right? The Rambam and Perish HaMishnayis and the Kiddel Leflor, Rabbi Kivega, anybody that's gone to that sugya, it's a very complicated sugya. That shaila really comes up by medications, because even though there's yesham alismaych to take capsules of medication, if it's l'shem medication, if it's treif, but if it's also bahano, you have no heter. So then you have to go into much, much further into those shilas. Another issue which will come up is Pesach. A person owns certain animals, right? There can be a lot of the animal foods are chametz. In such a situation, you should ask a shilah, but you have to usually sell the animal in the chametz, and the mishaburim zayin, usually you should give the animal over to the goy for over Pesach. But that's the way to deal with that shaila. Now, a very negated shaila is, and if somebody is actually a pet owner, the truth is, I had somebody came to me recently, a veterinarian, and he's a veterinarian who is a bal tshuva. And he asked me if he should continue. It was interesting. I had two situations. One situation, somebody wanted to know from me, he wanted to become a veterinarian. I told him absolutely not to do so, because what happens is that most of the work that they do is neutering, spaying, right? That's what they do, which is basically serious, being mesaris the dogs. And what will happen is that if you do that, you're over on a possibly in a lav in the Torah. So that he definitely can't do. So a yid should definitely, it's not worthwhile to become a veterinarian. I had another situation where somebody was already a vet who came to me, and he became a bal tshuva. So I told him to partner with another veterinarian, and they should split the malacha, and he should stay away from doing the series. But if somebody does own a dog, the common thing to do is to neuter it, to spay it. Now, it's even more interesting that the ASPCA, if they find dogs all over the place, and they don't want more animal litter, right? They want less animals out there. So what they do is as follows. If you want to buy it, they tell you, here, you got. We'll let you buy it. Give us a deposit. Take it and neuter it or spay it, which means you'll be mesaris it. And then after you do that, we'll give you back your money. That's what they do. As an incentive that you should always be mesaris these animals, so which becomes a very big shaila, what do you do? So just to go through the shaila b'kitz and nirmas, and even as a simon hay, sifir aleph, it's brought down klor that a zohar, an animal that's a zohar, you're not allowed to be mesaris. An animal that's an akeva, it's potter avol osa, which means you're not allowed to do it, but if you did it, it's not over an actual lav. Now, there's a shaila in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf nun vav amud beis, how about a goy? Is a goy allowed to be mesaris an animal or not? Now, it's a very big nafkamina. Because if there is an issa on the goy to be mesaris the animal, then you can't go and give your animal over to the goy to be mesaris it. But if on the other hand, there's no issa for a goy to be mesaris an animal, but rather it's only like it's a shvus, like on Shabbos, you can't do something through a goy which is also for you, right? If that's what the situation is. So then what will happen is that the makom choyla, just like on Shabbos, can be over a shvus for a choyla, you can give it over to a goy. Now this happens to be, it's a tremendous shaila. The Beis Shmuel writes in Eben Ezra that there's no hachra on this shaila. The Aruch HaShulchan goes more lekula. So what happened over the generations? Came along the Shoyli Meshiv and the Chsam Soifa and the Maram Shik, and they came and put an Eitzah. The Eitzah was an Heta Mechira, that somebody that owned a dog used to go and sell the dog to another person, and once they went to a guy, and then they had the guy tell another guy to do it. So it accomplished two things. Number one, the animal wasn't yours. And number two, besides the animal not having been yours, what also happens is it becomes amira le'a mira. Those were the two aces, how they dealt with it. L'maisa, the achroes apoiskim is only to be soimach on this in a situation where it's necessary, like you need to have the dog as a watchdog. But if you're buying the animal for total convenience, to be soimach on the hetta mechira is a bit of a stretch, and it's better not to be soimach. I'll just tell you two quick aces that I saw. This Rav Unterman writes this, it's brought on oitz apoiskim, and I've heard from other rabbonim, and that is either, if you have to be mesaris it through a grama, they have different ways of doing it through a grama, or to be mesaris it by only doing a siris that's a derabanan, not actually removing the eva, but removing some other chut that only is a derabanan. And what's the cheshbon? Because even if you say a goy is mitzuvah on siris, a goy is definitely not mitzuvah on a derabanan. Right, the goyim of Nochiva, the rabbanon. So that would be the eitzah of dealing with those shailas. Look, we're out of time. I'll just mention another few quick points. The leash I discussed already. Dog tags of Shlomo Zalman Betzim is mekel. If Shlomo Zalman says there's no problem whatsoever, if the dog tag is dear, l'tzayrach the dog. That's a very important point. And the other issue, which is a very common shaila, is muktzah in dogs. There's a Taisa Masechta Shabbos that discusses this question. And bepashtis, the animal should be treated as muktzah. You could feed it, but bepashtis, you should treat the animal. Look, there's an arichas when it's a total pet, but bepashtis is definitely more to the side of the chumrah. Okay.